This is probably my fifth or sixth time I've tried doing this recording. I actually recorded like 40 minutes of it and ended up deleting it all. But it's not easy. It's not easy to share, and nobody's asked me to do this, but it's been heavy on my heart with the 5-year anniversary to share with you guys of that day and bits and pieces of my life. Being vulnerable is never easy, but I myself have listened to so many people's stories and testimonies, and it's helped me. You know, it helps people to not feel so alone, and it's God's story to share, and so I'm gonna do my best to share this with you. This is not anything amazing video wise or anything like that. This is just me and the camera and what I look like today and 6 kids running around the house. Some people have come to my speaking engagements that I've done, and some people have heard me maybe on the radio or different interviews that I've done, but this is just me and you. Like, I'm just talking, feel like I'm just talking to somebody and telling you what happened that day on May 3rd, 2015, and why I can stand here, or sit here actually, today and just share the hope that I have in Jesus. And I know so many of you know that's my heart. I've shared that from the very beginning and before, that, you know, I don't think I'd be where I am today if it wasn't for knowing who Christ is, and believing his word and experiencing his promises in ways that I don't think I could have ever experienced if I haven't gone through this. And it's a very hard story to listen to, so, but it's important. And yeah, so this is just me opening up my heart to whoever needs to hear the goodness of God. So that weekend was actually a really beautiful weekend, and it was just a normal, very normal weekend. And Sunday, woke up and our family went to church, and we were attending a church in Neenah, Wisconsin at the time. And it was just a beautiful day, 70s, I think. And remember, we dropped the kids off at church, or at Sunday school, the 2 younger kids. And just Olivia was just beginning to sit with us on Sundays, and she really enjoyed it, and we would discuss the message after church. And but I remember I had a very special moment, and I've shared this with many people before, but John was on my right side and Olivia was on my left side. I was sitting between those two, and I just remember like looking up at John that day and then looking at Olivia, like turning my head toward them and just thanking God for them. I was just so grateful. We were having just a great year of marriage, and our marriage, it was always good. John is an amazing husband, but it's just different that year. John was just much more intentional with me, and just different, and I took notice of that. And I just, you know, Olivia was just my little buddy. She hung out with me pretty much. I would tell people she followed me all over the house from room to room, and she loved all the things I loved, and she was just my little buddy. And I just remember thanking God for them that morning. So then after just a precious moment, but then after church, John went to a family event and I went to the Y to work again. And then after church, we met back up at home. And I remember I remember feeling cold from sitting in the air conditioning at the Y. And I'm like, oh, it's so nice out. We should go for a walk. And it was kind of a newer trail at the time. Not sure how old, but it was newer. And it was an old trestle trail bridge that's been turned into a walking trail. And there was a really cool park and just in a really beautiful area. A lot of families would enjoy going there. And so we kind of decided last second, hey, let's go to this park and go for a walk. And so I took, for those that, you know, don't know me personally, we have three kids together. So Olivia she was 11 at the time. Ezra was 7, our son. And then we have a daughter named Sayla, who was 5 at the time. And we have a little dog. And so it was us three kids, the dog, and just our family. So we headed to the park and we saw some people we knew. I took the kids to the bathroom. And we made our way across the bridge. And we got all the way to the end. There were a lot of lake flies. And on that side, there was a lot of lake flies. And I remember thinking like, okay, I think we've gone far enough. Because we didn't want to eat the bugs. And so we were kind of looking over the side of the bridge. There was like a family of ducks. And then we decided to make our way back so the kids could go to the park. So in the middle of this bridge, there is a red pavilion. As we were walking up to it, and John and I had no conversation at all between us about this situation, but we saw a man, two men. One man was laying on a bench on his side, and then this other man was standing near him. And something in my heart just didn't feel right to me. And Ezra was up ahead with with the dog and past that point already, and the two girls were with us. And so I kept walking and the girls were walking with me. And if you knew John, if there was a situation like that, I think no matter what, he would try and help in some way. And so he actually walked toward the man that was standing, and I kept going. But then when I realized he stopped, I stopped. And I don't know the exact calculations how far we were from each other, but it was far enough where I couldn't reach him, but it was close enough where I could hear him. And I heard the man say to John, I don't know what happened, he just fell over. And this man was carrying a satchel in front of him, and behind that satchel was his hand. And 2 seconds later, after he said that, he pulled out a gun and shot John. And then he shot me. And then he shot Olivia. And we all fell down and got back up again. Made it the hardest decision of my life, which was to grab my youngest daughter, who was 5, and she was not harmed, but I grabbed her hand and started running to go get help. But I could not reach John or Olivia. They were too far from me. All I knew was I had to get help. And I took the second that I had and started running with Sayla. And as we were running, we got caught up to Ezra, and I remember Sayla said to me, "Mom, you're bleeding." And little did I know, I was shot 2 more times, one through the stomach and one in the hand. And I felt no pain yet. I didn't even feel the bullets go through me. But that's, I think, the first moment that I realized what was happening. I felt a gush of blood go down my legs, and which I still didn't know it was blood at the time. I almost thought I was like wetting myself, to be honest, because I thought it was just shock from being shot in the leg. And but I caught up to Ezra and I said, "You need to go get help. You need to go find someone to call 911. And he asked, "Mom, what's happening?" And I said, "You just need to listen to me. You need to go ahead and have someone call 911. So he listened, and he ran up ahead and did that. And I finally made it to the end of the bridge with Sayla. And I finally collapsed to the ground. And the pain that came on was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. And I just, that moment, I just remember thinking, I could hear sirens that felt like forever coming in the background. And that took forever to get to the park. And I just remember thinking, everything's changing. Everything's changing. I could hear a lady behind me talking to Sayla. Might have been a police officer at the time. I know there was a woman behind me who took my sweatshirt and wrapped my hand. And I still, to this day, don't know who that person is, but I saw the SWAT team surrounding me and police cars. I looked back. Down the bridge, I could see those two laying there. But you know, I had a glimmer of hope still I didn't let go of. There are some feelings that you just can't describe, that there are no words for. But life was forever changing at that moment for me. And Ezra and Sayla, so there's a wonderful police officer, and they're all wonderful, but the only one that I remember, her name is Kathy, and she was by my side the whole time. She's in. I remember asking her in the midst of all that if she could put me out in any way, because I was in so much pain. And she couldn't, but she stayed with me. And when the ambulance came, and I felt like the longest ride. And we got to the hospital, and I just remember the moment that they were finally putting me out. And at that point, I didn't really care which way I was gonna go, if I was gonna die or survive. I just wanted to be put out of my misery. So either the next day or a couple days later, I'm not sure, after they did surgery on me and saved my life, I woke up and I had a breathing tube. Hooked up to a bunch of machines and the intensive care. And my my first thought, you know, I remembered everything that happened, and but I couldn't talk. And my first question, so I was actually going like this with my hand because I wanted something to write with. And my dad, remember, my parents were there, and I don't remember who else, but I'm sure some nurses and doctors. But I asked, where's John and Olivia? And I think I knew deep down inside that they were gone, but I didn't want to believe it. And I thought maybe there was still a chance that they were alive. And my poor dad, mom had to tell me that they were gone. And then I started scribbling some more questions, I think. But I remember with John's family being around me, I wanted to bring them some comfort. And the last thing I heard John say to the man that was killing him was, "May God forgive you." And I thought, they need to know what John said, you know? I mean, if they can have any comfort, you know what was in the heart of John, of someone that was taking his life. And that just speaks true to the man that he was and is. John loved Jesus with all his heart. And there was, from the first time I got to know him, we were just 16 and 17 year olds in youth group. You know, that was like my first notion of John was, this man really wants to know who Jesus is. And he was always that way since I've known him. There was nothing more important to him than God. And John had his struggles, trust me, he did. But he tried to put Jesus first. And honestly, this is why I share this story. It's not to glorify John. It's not to glorify Olivia. It's not to glorify myself. But it's to glorify Jesus. I don't know where I'd be without him. And many have asked me, or have wondered, you know, what kind of God would allow something this terrible happen to such a good family? And I had my questions, you know, of why this way? Why both of them? Why so public? I remember specifically being moved from the ICU to the sixth floor at the hospital, and how afraid I was to leave that room because I knew I was protected in there, and I knew there was, because it was so public and, you know, it was in the news for such a long time. But knowing that, like, I was fearful, you know, I was fearful. So I was afraid to leave that room, and that was like the first step of increasing my faith through all this, was just facing that fear. You know, and not like I really had a huge choice in moving from the ICU to the sixth floor, but I was sincerely afraid. Remember, again, my poor father. I know you do anything for your child, but he had a lot on his shoulders, and my mom. But I remember my dad brought a picture of a casket into the hospital, and you know, they didn't know how much I could handle, you know, I was so injured. fighting for my life, and you know, that's a lot. A lot to take care of. Even just any funeral is difficult. There's no question of that. But you know, I think they're kind of testing out where, you know, what, how much I wanted to be involved in the funeral planning. And so he brought in a picture of a casket that was donated for Olivia. Honestly, that was the first time that it began to sink in. God, what are you asking of me? To bury my husband and my child. I felt the weight of the world on my shoulders. And my two living children had to experience this. And when you have kids, you know, you bear their pain as well. And I really struggled that week. Who wouldn't? But I started not sleeping at night, and the morning of the funeral, which I believe was on a Thursday, I just remember waking up with such a peace in my heart. And that God gives you a peace that surpasses all understanding, and I had that peace that day. And I had some amazing sisters that sat with me that day and helped me get ready and bought me, you know, my dress and did my hair and just sat with me all day. And, you know, that's, I just felt so loved. Oh, God just shows his love through the most amazing ways. And got, you know, remember being wheeled down in a wheelchair. And I know there were so many of you there, and I'm so, thank you so much for supporting our family that day. But being wheeled down in a wheelchair into the, through the center aisle, and just sitting there with my two kids and looking ahead of me are two caskets. My husband and my daughter, that made me realize I can't hold on to my children. I can't hold on to my spouse. I can't hold on to the things of this world. They all belong to God. And that's extremely difficult, you know, to think of, because there's nothing more that you want than to be with those you love. And letting go, you know, in that way of, what, God, they're yours. And I was angry at what happened, but not angry at God. If anything, my heart became more grateful. I was so grateful that John knew the Lord and loved him. I was so grateful that Olivia gave her life to Christ at such a young age, and without a doubt knew him and loved him. So grateful that God put them in my life. I just thought, what an honor it has been to be married to such a godly man, and a daughter at 11 who loved the Lord. But don't get me wrong, that doesn't take away the pain that you feel. You know, pain is a result of deep love, and that's something that I'm always going to feel for the rest of my life, is is pain and sorrow. And, you know, it's not like God had to prove his promises are real. But through all this, I could see and experience them in a way that I never could have before. You know, their life has not been wasted. Their life has touched so many people. The amount of letters and messages and emails and through word of mouth and stories that I've heard, how their lives have changed so many people. There's actually a verse, Genesis 50, 20 and 21. So it says, "But as for you," and this is Joseph, if you know the story of Joseph, but this is when he's talking to his family, his brothers, and how they sold him into slavery. And "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And I think about John's last words and how he could say that to the man that was murdering him. "May God forgive you." That's just proof right there of the Holy Spirit living inside of him. Everybody in this life is going to go through something and experience pain. Everybody. And my pain is no greater than your pain. Pain is pain. We're thinking, I have, you know, these two kids, and you took John, who has the career, you know, I was, you know, he's the provider, and I've been a stay-at-home mom since I've been 21, and I had a house to take care of, which by myself, I'm thinking, how am I going to do that? You know, but God provided abundantly, and, you know, thinking of, like, how am I going to raise, you know, not just two kids alone, but two kids that are mourning and broken. You know, like, I don't know anything about raising kids that have gone through a tragedy like this, and he gave me wisdom. And and then thinking, I lost, was in the hospital for like 21 days and lost over 20 pounds in weight, and I was incredibly weak. I didn't eat for like a month. I had, you know, a bullet that went through my smaller intestine, and so my stomach was just a mess, and I had one that hit my left hand right under my ring finger, or my ring on my ring finger, and I had to have multiple surgeries on that, and one that went through my leg, and so I was just completely broken. And like, we have like a brief second of waking up, and then the next thought is they're gone, and I gotta do this day all over again. And thinking so far ahead, you know, like, how am I ever gonna get through this? The road of grief feels so long. I mean, grief is forever on this earth. Grief is lifelong. You can be in a room full of people that love you and care for you with all their heart, and it's still lonely. You know, it's, nobody can feel what you're feeling. It's so lonely. But when I look back these past 5 years, I am just amazed the healing that God has done in my life. And you know, I am remarried, and doesn't mean that takes away your hard days, and or that you stop thinking about them, or you know, that's always going to be a part of your life. And I look back And I just thank God, you know, you've done so much healing in my life. And in the pain's never truly gone. You don't really want it to be gone. Because, you know, it's when you love people, you know, that's going to affect you for the rest of your life. But it's caused me, loss has caused me to live harder, to love harder. And God has put my new husband and 4 new boys into my life to love. That doesn't take away from my love of John and Olivia at all. But my love has expanded and grown, which that's a whole nother story. But I have a heart that's incredibly, incredibly grateful right now, and it always has been. God is preparing our family for this. His plan for me is not the plan that I think that I have for myself, and it's mysterious, but I'm not the same person I was before all this happened. I'm not the same person I was a year ago. I'm not, I don't want to be that person. Life can change in an instant, and it did for me. Tomorrow is not promised. It's not. And the biggest question you can answer is, who is God? Do you believe in God? Do you know Him? If you know Him, do you live for Him? I mean, there's so many questions, but if you know Him, if you get to know Him, you'll find that He is some God who loves you, who wants what's best for you, and that may not look the way that you think is best for you, but He knows. He knows you. One last thing that I just want to encourage you with when I say, God prepared our family for this. About 6 months prior to May 3rd, 2015, John came home one day and he said, "Aaron, it's going to be change in your life. And I don't know what that is, but I'm supposed to pray for you." And he said that multiple times throughout, you know, those last 6 months of him being here. And I remember it was about a month after I lost them. God reminded me of what he said. And I just remember thinking, wow, God, you put it on John's heart to pray for me. And he wouldn't even be here. And you had him praying for me. And I can't even tell you like what that means to me and how that has built my trust in God and just His faithfulness and how He knows everything that's going to happen in your life. And pain like this can either push you away from God or drive you closer to Him. So I just want to just encourage you guys to seek Him and to think about, you know what? Yeah, today could be your last day. Do you know where you're going? And when I asked Jesus into my heart the first time, or when I did, when I was 17, 16, I didn't even know what that meant entirely, but I knew that I wanted Him in my life, but I didn't know what that would look like. And it's the best decision I've ever made. So thanks for listening to this really difficult story, and
God is good. God is faithful. And he loves you. And you don't have to do this life alone. And whatever you're going through is not too big for God. God bless.